It is just past 7:35 in the morning, and you're listening to Upfront. I'm Antonia Yuhas.
And I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert. The deadline for bills passing their first hurdle in the state legislature is August 31st. And two of the bills that are barreling towards a showdown in committee have a ton to do with who has to pick up the tab after massive wildfires like what we're experiencing across the state of California right now. In the Senate, Senate Bill 1088 would change the liability standard for electric utilities. It would get rid of a process called inverse condemnation, in which if an electric utility causes a fire, whether they are shown to be negligent or not, they are responsible for paying damages to private property owners. The second, Assembly Bill 33, would create a process whereby Pacific Gas and Electric, which warns it could be forced into bankruptcy by picking up the tab for last year's wildfires, would be allowed to issue bonds, which are then paid off by its ratepayers. Now, both of these have been moving through approval after the utility Pacific Gas and Electric has spent around $2 million on levying in the state legislature, but they're also picking up backing from quarters that are not traditionally utility friendly, saying it's simply a question of making sure that electric utilities can continue to exist in a time of climate change and increased wildfires. We did reach out to Pacific Gas and Electric for an interview about both these bills. They turned us down. We're joined now by an organization that is opposed to both of them. Mindy Spatt is the communications director with the Utility Reform Network, or TURN. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
So why don't you start by kind of walking us through what would change? And let's start in the Senate with 1088, the bill that would change this concept of inverse condemnation. I'll be honest, I had never even heard inverse condemnation as a concept before. Can you explain how it works?
Yeah, and to be clear, SB 1088 is not actually going to change, at least as it's written now, won't change the inverse condemnation rules. What SB 1088 would do is to give PG&E a blank check and actually, strangely enough, eliminate rules that currently prevent them from passing costs on to us. So there would be sort of a lower bar for PG&E to get to say they'd behaved reasonably. For example, in a case like San Bruno, because PG&E was negligent, they were unable to pass damage costs onto customers. With 1088, PG&E would be able to sort of declare itself having been reasonable, hence avoid liability.
You mean there's no independent party that would make that assessment?
Right. Well, right now, the PUC, the California Public Utilities Commission, has to sort of oversees PG&E's safety operations. And in a sense, 1088 would cut through the PUC process and allow PUC to approve its own plans. So that's the difference. It sort of eliminates a level of accountability.
Got it. So the bigger ticket fight seems to be over AB 33, and this is creating the procedure by which Pacific Gas and Electric, and it's specifically about Pacific Gas and Electric, not any other utilities, would be able to float a bond to pay off the damages from the 2017 wildfires. Pacific Gas and Electric estimates it'll be checking out $2.5 billion under the status quo in damages. They only have $800 million in insurance. They say this is so they can stay in business and keep providing electricity.
Well, TURN's been representing California consumers for 45 years, and this sad song is one we've heard before, I've got to say. Pretty much every time PG&E thinks their high, high profits are threatened, they start talking about bankruptcy. Right now, they don't have anything to go bankrupt about. Right now, that we don't know whether or not PG&E is going to be found negligent in the Tubbs fire. That's what's going to determine how much of a liability they have. So to say it's premature would be an understatement. This is a typical example of corporate lawmaking. PG&E goes in advance to the legislature, doesn't have any bills in its hand, but says, look, if you don't give us a bailout, we're going to go bankrupt. So they want a slush fund. And yes, you're right. The bonds would be paid for by none other than us, the customers.
What should PG&E be doing better? Obviously, we are currently facing the largest wildfire in California history. There's not necessarily any connection to PG&E, but obviously we're going to be having more fires, more likelihood that a stray spark from a PG&E wire is going to hit something that's too dry and potentially start a fire. What should PG&E be doing to protect itself or to operate better or to have more resources, given that we are facing increasingly worse climate change?
Well, they could start by trimming trees properly. In 11 of the last 16 wildfires, PG&E's negligence, and I do mean criminal negligence, was found to have caused the fires. It's a very simple thing. They're not trimming the trees properly. This problem goes back long before this recent round of fires, at least to 1994, when they once again were criminally negligent and failing to trim trees and burnt a lot of the town of Rough and Ready, California. So all of this talk now about climate change may be what's the dryness is what's making the fires spread so quickly, but in terms of the fires starting, that's on PG&E, and that's on pretty much on the tree trimming.
So, Mindy, I know you're kind of disputing the facts of the moment in terms of PG&E having any certainty about how much it'll have to pay out. But let's pose this as a hypothetical, because it certainly will come up at some point. At some point, the utility will be on the hook for more damages than it can pay with the resources available to it. What alternatives are there to a ratepayer bailout like the one that's contemplated in AB 33?
Well, I'll tell you what PG&E says when customers can't pay their bills. They shut them off. They shut off over 800,000 customers last year. So we're not going to get a lot of sympathy from them when we can't pay our bills. Now, we don't know if PG&E is, in fact, criminally negligent in the Tubbs fire, then insurance companies are going to pay those claims.
But they have a cap on their insurance. Their coverage caps out at $800
million. That part I'm not sure about. But once again, PG&E is not a company that comes to its customers to strategize its finances.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got lots and lots of people over there who are paid lots and lots of money. They have MBAs, they're lawyers. Their job is to figure out PG&E's finances, not ours. And what we know is we don't want to see a bailout, and that we don't believe that customers should be on the hook. Again, they have investors, they have executives. It's their job to figure this out, not ours.
You said that they have enough profits to cover what the potential liability would be. What were their annual profits last year?
Honestly, I couldn't say off the top of my head, and I'm not saying that they necessarily have enough, but the whole issue of how much PG&E itself will have to pay out is going to be based on whether or not they're found negligent. And certainly in the past, again and again, they've been found negligent. So should we don't believe a bailout is, at this point, a bailout is not necessary. The whole agenda that the legislature is looking at right now is PG&E's agenda. It's not a consumer agenda. A consumer agenda would look at how do we help fire victims who are underinsured or don't have insurance. There are in the car fire, it's already known that it wasn't caused by PG&E. What happens to those consumers?
Yeah, but I still want to hammer in on this question of, what if it is a liability large enough to put a company like PG&E out of business? Obviously, one option is a bailout. Obviously, another one is the state takes over the utility and makes it no longer a profit-driven, shareholder-owned corporation. I mean, is that something that's seriously on the table or should be on the table?
Well, it's certainly a major change in management should be on the table. This is a company, again, convicted of a felony, negligent again and again. But there's no reason to believe at this point that this is simply, PG&E is using the threat of bankruptcy to get its way in the legislature. The last time they went bankrupt, which was during the deregulation disaster, which incidentally was caused by the legislature moving too quickly on energy policy, we customers ended up paying for it. And It's not that PG&E would not have any money or would have to close down. It's just that they can't pay profits. So bankruptcy is one legal strategy open to PG&E, but it's a bit of an exaggeration at this point to suggest that they somehow could no longer operate when, at this moment in time, they don't have these liabilities. So the question to us is, shouldn't the legislature be concentrating on how you can hold PG&E accountable and make sure they stop starting these fires? Let's wait and see what happens. When we find out whether or not PG&E was negligent in the Tubbs fire, we'll know much more about what their liabilities are going to be.
All right. Mindy Spann, thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Mindy Spann is communications director with the Utility Reform Network. They are fighting against two bills that are barreling towards an August 31st deadline, SB 1088 and AB 33, both of which would make it easier for private utilities to deal with the liabilities created by wildfire. Again, we did reach out to Pacific Gas and Electric to offer them a chance to be in that segment. They turned down our interview request.